Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. To begin our next conversation, we're going to listen to a speech from the 2008 Democratic Convention in Denver when Michelle Obama introduced herself to the American people. In that speech, she told the emotional story of her upbringing, and she touched on some of her and her husband's values.
That your word is your bond, that you do what you say you're going to do, that you treat people with dignity and respect, even if you don't know them, and even if you don't agree with them.
Michelle Obama worked on that speech with a team of writers, including Wayland native Sarah Hurwitz. Hurwitz served as chief speechwriter for the former First Lady until this year. During the Democratic primary, she was the chief speechwriter for Hillary Clinton. Now, Hurwitz is a fellow at the Harvard Institute of Politics, and she'll be speaking this week about using words to lead. That speech of hers is at the Women's Leadership Forum in Boston. But first, she joins us on Radio Boston. Sarah Hurwitz, welcome.
Thank you.
So it seems as if a big speech for you in your career was Hillary Clinton's speech back in 2008 after the Democratic primary with then-Senator Barack Obama. We have a little clip here. Let's listen.
Although we weren't able to shatter that highest, hardest glass ceiling this time, thanks to you, it's got about 18 million cracks in it.
So, Sarah Hurwitz, did you realize that that speech was going to get the attention that it did? And I'm wondering, when you write a line like that, you know, 18 million cracks in it, do you say, oh, there you go, I hit a home run?
Well, I can't take credit for that line. That was someone else's idea. And, you know, when I heard it, I thought, that is a really powerful line. You know, the challenge of that speech was to really capture the historic nature of what she had done. It was to honor everyone who had supported her and who had really poured themselves into her campaign. And it was also to give a really full-throated endorsement of then-Senator Obama. And I think she did all of that in that moment. You know, I think it was really a moment where you just saw how incredibly strong and how incredibly passionate she is. And I was really proud of her that day.
Now you went from being a speechwriter for Hillary Clinton to a speechwriter for former First Lady Michelle Obama. How did that happen?
Well, it's funny, you know, a few days after Hillary's concession speech, I got a call from Jon Favreau, who I had worked with on Senator Kerry's campaign back in 2004. And he said, look, you know, I'm wondering if you would consider coming to work with Senator Obama. And of course, I said yes. So I joined John and his team on the campaign, and they were incredibly welcoming. I mean, Senator Obama himself called me, I think, the first week that I was there just to say welcome. You know, we're thrilled to have you on board. And pretty early on in my tenure there, John came to me and said, you know, we need someone to help write Mrs. Obama's convention speech. And so I said, you know, of course, happy to help. And, you know, that's actually how I first met her, was working on this speech.
Hmm. Now, interestingly, Barack Obama, of course, well known for his rhetorical skills. I mean, he was just amazing when he gave speeches. And yet he was someone who Hillary Clinton, during their campaign, had dubbed more or less all talk. Right. So I wonder, you know, what is it like to work in the shadow of someone who's very gifted rhetorically, as Barack Obama certainly is? And also, what is it like to go to a rival campaign after something like that, after you called this guy all talk?
Right. Of course. I mean, it is, you know, I'll tell you, on my flight from Washington, D.C. to Chicago, I was reading Dreams for My Father and thinking to myself, what have I done? This guy is one of the most gifted writers, and I already knew he was an incredibly gifted orator. So just the thought of trying to write speeches for someone like that was incredibly overwhelming. And, you know, it's funny, when John asked me to write Mrs. Obama's speech, at first I objected a little bit. I said, you know, I'm here to write for him. And, you know, why are you asking me to write for her? And then I got to know her, and I realized that she, too, is incredibly gifted. And she too is this incredibly inspiring, brilliant, just amazing woman. And to write for both of them, it's been the greatest challenge of my life. As we're going to a rival campaign, people on the Obama campaign were incredibly welcoming to me. I was almost surprised because, you know, when I first met Mrs. Obama, I just thought, we were just on this tough campaign. I just spent 17 months, really toxic, tough, back and forth. You know, is she going to be okay with me? Is she going to welcome me? And she could not have been more gracious, more cordial, more warm, more kind. I mean, there was never a moment where either Senator Obama or Mrs. Obama treated me with suspicion or mistrust. It was just an immediate welcome. And it was the same for all of my colleagues on the campaign.
You know, we have another clip of a speech of Michelle Obama's that I want to play here. This is the former First Lady speaking at the 2016 Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia.
I wake up every morning in a house that was built by slaves. And I watch my daughters, two beautiful, intelligent black young women, playing with their dogs on the White House lawn.
In that speech, Sarah Hurwitz, many folks said Michelle Obama really connected, and she seemed to have an ability to really connect with her audience, whereas Hillary did not. Would you agree with that? And what were some of the reasons for those two differences, would you say?
You know, I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. I think that there were a lot of moments where Hillary really connected with people, where she really resonated. I mean, I think we've maybe lost sight of the fact that 3 million more people voted for Hillary than for Donald Trump. And, you know, there's something that she said in her Democratic Convention speech in 2016 that Hillary said that I thought was very moving. You know, what she said was, I've spent a career in public service, and I'm more comfortable with the service part of that than the public part of that. And I think that, you know, what she was saying was, you know, yeah, I'm not a show woman. You know, I'm a true public servant. You know, people loved her when she was doing the job. And then suddenly, you know, when she's running for the job, it's sort of, you know, it becomes more controversial. I think when people are candidates, they tend to kind of lose a little bit of stature. It's a tougher role. But, you know, I think she connected with quite a few people.
I wonder if you could sort of describe a little bit, not too much, I know it's probably a lot, but a little bit of the process of, you know, how do you write these speeches? How much do you work with a political figure, a former first lady? What's their input like? What's your input like? What's the creative process like a little bit? And how does this and the skills and the knowledge that you've acquired about speech writing, how do you think it applies to regular folks who aren't writing for, you know, the head of the free world or his wife?
Right. And I actually think there are a lot of lessons that are really applicable. In terms of the process, you know, with Mrs. Obama, she is a woman who knows who she is, and she always knows what she wants to say. So the process, a key part of the process, is just sitting down with her and saying, so what do you want to say? And she will just lay it out in no uncertain terms. You know, she'll lay out the point she wants to make. She'll lay out the theme she wants to drive home. She will lay out paragraphs and paragraphs of really vivid, fresh, moving language. And I will tell you, one of the most valuable assets I had as a speechwriter for her was the ability to type quickly. Very important, because, you know, I would really try to take a transcript of what she was saying, because she, like President Obama, is truly her own best speechwriter. They just don't have time to sit around, you know, writing speeches. So our job was really to channel as much of their voice as possible. So, you know, it really is their words. You know, it really is theirs. I think that's what makes it seem, you know, that's what makes it so authentic. In terms of what is applicable more broadly, you know, I think there are certain tips that I give about speech writing that I think are as relevant for giving a speech to a convention as they are for, you know, addressing a meeting at work, or even, you know, addressing your family at the dinner table. I think the most important piece of advice I can give to any speaker is just to say something true. So often people, when they're thinking about what they want to say, they think, you know, okay, what will make me sound smart or clever or powerful or funny? Or they think, you know, okay, what does my audience want to hear? Those are okay questions, but they are not your first or most important question. You know, the first most important question should be, what is the deepest, most important truth that I can tell at this particular moment? I also just advise people, just talk like a person. I think so often when people get behind a podium, they kind of take on this persona that isn't who they are. So they give a speech, and it's very stilted and formal, and they use words that they wouldn't normally use. So, you know, I think in a business context, you see people saying, okay, we want to catalyze the transformative power of leveraging results-oriented, unsiloed vertical. It's like, I don't know what you do. Like, that's baffling.
We get guests like that on the radio sometimes.
Exactly. Or I think what you see in politics, which I think is kind of dismaying is this kind of bland, soundbitey language. You know, we need to put hardworking, middle-class American family values first. And it's like you would never turn to your spouse or your colleague or your friend and say that. And I think if you wouldn't say something to one person, you generally shouldn't say it to a lot of people. It doesn't actually get better when broadcast. So I think just, you know, saying something true and talking like a person are really key tips that I would give. And I think they're as applicable for big speeches as they are for small, intimate meetings.
But, you know, I have to ask you here, because it follows with that thought to a certain degree. You know, in the current White House, Donald Trump was elected by, you know, half the country, less than half the country, albeit, but folks who said that they felt that they were deceived by words. They felt that a lot of the speeches and things that they had been hearing for decades, really, were not actually truthful. They weren't something true to them. And what resonated with them actually were the words from Donald Trump that they felt were more genuine. And people to this day say that they feel that he is more likely to, quote unquote, tell it like it is. They find this refreshing. I mean, what does that suggest to you as a White House speechwriter?
You know, I think it does suggest that people are kind of tired and disillusioned with these kind of bland, poll-tested sound bites. I think that there might be some confusion about kind of mistaking rhetoric that sounds authentic and that sounds genuine with rhetoric that's honest. I think that what we've seen is that, you know, Donald Trump tends to say things that are patently untrue. And, you know, I think also what troubles me is that I think if you look back at the speeches of presidents of both parties in recent memory, you see presidents who really are calling us to our highest aspirations. You know, they're calling us to courage and to optimism and to hope and to compassion. I think George W. Bush's first inaugural address is a really great example. You know, I don't necessarily agree with all of the sort of hints at policy that he makes in that speech, but man, what a beautiful articulation of American values. I think what we're hearing today is something different. I think we're being called to fear, to blame, to anger, to obedience, and I just, you know, I don't think those are American values, and I don't think they ever will be, so I'm troubled by that.
When I'm wondering what it was like when you were writing and you wanted to write about an opponent or an idea that perhaps the person you were writing for disagreed with. Was it common practice to sort of indirectly go after it? And what I'm thinking of here is a speech from former First Lady Michelle Obama, where she was actually talking about then Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump. And she didn't actually name him, but she said, you know, we should have someone in the White House who has the strength to persevere, someone who understands the issues of the nation are not black and white, that cannot be boiled down to 140 characters, because when you have the nuclear codes at your fingertips and the military in your command, you can't make snap decisions and you can't have thin skin, right? So we all know who she's talking about, but she's not saying it. Was that sort of an unspoken rule when you're writing for White House politicians? Like, kind of go at it indirectly so you're not being maybe a less than diplomatic here, if you can call it
no,
that.
No, I know. I totally get what you're asking. And I think, you know, what we were really focusing on was the substance. You know, we didn't, you know, doing a sort of nasty personal attacks, it's not helpful. And honestly, people don't want to hear it. It's just, it's kind of cheap. I think people are smart enough to kind of roll their eyes and just say, ugh, enough. I think what we were really trying to do is to really get at, okay, what's the substantive difference here? You know, what are we really concerned about? And I think in that passage, you know, we're concerned about temperament. We're concerned about stability. And I think that that was the point we're trying to make without making, you know, without making gratuitous kind of nasty personal attacks.
I want to also ask you about the plagiarism charges that came out after First Lady Melania Trump's speech, where it was determined that she actually took some of former First Lady Michelle Obama's speech. I mean, what did you think about that whole brouhaha there? That was your speech that was plagiarized.
You know, I have to say my first reaction was just, oh my goodness, this is every speechwriter's worst nightmare. And, you know, my second reaction was just a feeling of overwhelming gratitude, because on the Obama campaigns and in the Obama White House, we had a very, very rigorous fact-checking apparatus.
I'd like to end our conversation back with some general advice for folks. So I know you said keep it real, genuine words, mean something. You know, what are your main values? Talk like yourself. What's how do you sort of wrap it up to give people advice, again, that they could use, you know, speaking at work, giving a presentation to a small group, not speaking to thousands on national television. But, you know, what do you tell folks, and how might what you've learned help folks in their everyday lives?
Stay true to yourself and really speak to other people's hearts about things that you have in common, and do it in a way that is authentic, that is real, that feels really natural to you, where you're kind of speaking to their best self. You know, I think it's easy, as we've, I think, seen in recent months, it's really easy to kind of speak to our worst selves, but I think it's really great to speak to people's best selves, to their highest aspirations, to what they really want to be. And I think when you do that, you wind up with something that's more positive, with something that's more inspiring, and with something that's more genuine.
Sarah Hurwitz is a fellow at Harvard's Institute of Politics. She served as chief speechwriter for former First Lady Michelle Obama. She'll be speaking this Thursday at the Women's Leadership Forum. There's more information about that at our website, radioboston.org. Sarah, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
And stay with us. Coming up, where do emotions come from? I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.